Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. I'm looking forward to today's program to understand exactly what's happening in Europe, but also to get the opinions of the European community, especially with the events here in the States. So I'm going to say to you that it's going to be a very active and very quick session with Tom Arms. We've got a lot to talk about. And with that, Tom, good afternoon, or actually good evening to you. And the quick question is, what's it like in London where we find you this evening?
We've had snow. We've had snow. It snowed last night. None of it stuck. It stuck for about half an hour and then it melted.
Oh, what a shame.
No, not a shame at all. I used to love this stuff. Whenever it snowed, I'd take the children out of school and we'd grab the sledge and off we'd go. I grab my stick and sort of hobble up the street and try not to fall over.
I understand. So it has snowed. Is this unusual for this time of year?
No, it's okay. Not unusual. I mean, we often have snow. Very rarely do we have any significant snowfall. Uh-huh. And as a result, they don't have much in the way of snow plows or gritting material or anything like that. So if you get even a quarter of an inch of snow here in London, the place just comes to a complete and total halt.
Understood. Well, it's going to be an interesting winter because I know that there's been a significant amount of coverage as far as the snowfall in, Central Europe, Germany, and areas like that.
Well, and also in the U.S., I was looking at pictures of a frozen Niagara Falls.
Right. We're having cold weather here where we are in North Carolina. All right, Tom, talking about cold weather, we had some chilly events in, maybe warm events in Washington, D.C., and I want to get into the coverage there in your community in the UK and the European community about the events in the U.S., and then we'll move on to national issues. And again, to remind folks, Tom Arms with us this afternoon here on Viewpoints Around the World. And yes, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, since this will be airing nearly midnight his time there in London. The topic of significant conversation right now everywhere is the topics of this past weekend in Washington, D.C. It started with, and I want to go to these two elements very quickly, and then we'll focus in on one component of it, with the March for Life on Friday, which resulted in another event taking place at the Lincoln Memorial later in the day, and then the following day, the March for Women. And my question to you very quickly is, did either of those events by themselves get much coverage there in the United Kingdom or in the European community?
By themselves, no.
Wow.
Certainly the confrontation between the high school boys and the Native American beating on the drum got an awful lot of coverage.
And how is that being reported? And again, we're not looking for, if you will, for those who are listening to the program, this is not an editorial comment. Tom and I might get into some editorializing a little later on. But I'm just curious, what has been the coverage there, for example, in the European community on this event?
The fact that they covered it at all implies that they believe that Donald Trump emboldens right-wingers.
Okay.
And that it emboldens right-wing high school students who were wearing Make America Great Again caps and to act in an unsocial manner.
Okay. And the question I have is that's been the opinion of the community. But have they fully fleshed out the event of that day and how there were other players and the fact that it was, and many of us believe this, really the students were more purely a pawn in the events of the day rather than the contributors to it. Has that been displayed or discussed at all?
Not in great detail.
Okay. I shared with you earlier today, this morning, as a matter of fact, a piece that described the events as they occurred. I'm curious about Have there been any coverage? Has there been any coverage of the other participants in it, particularly the Black Hebrew Israelites?
No, I haven't seen that.
That's interesting because, and I'm not going to get into the details because we've got a lot to cover today, but they were the ones who initiated the name calling and things of this nature, according to the videos. That's the other question, and that's where I really want to take this observation with you, Tom. And we recognize what we're hearing from or seeing in the European press and how they've covered it, which is sad because we have a lot of media here in the States that are backing up on the story significantly. Has that been covered at all? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it's been covered. Again, you know, once it's out there, it's out there, sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Right.
They've certainly covered the fact that the young boy concerned has received death threats.
Okay.
And he said he was trying to defuse the situation and things like that. And when you look at the video, it's you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, but he's clearly smirking. Does look as if he is.
So, I mean...
And I think that sort of sticks in people's mind when they see that video.
Okay, it is sad. Yes, it has resulted in a lot of overreaction, and that's not being described.
He's 16!
I agree. I listen. He's a teenager. You know, it's interesting. It's a shame. There are a lot of school groups that use Washington, D.C. as a destination, and I'm wondering now if that might change in the future. But that's a topic for another discussion. The question I have for you is the role that the social media has played in this, both the video, and by the way, have you seen the full, there's almost 2 hours of video. Have you seen the video?
No, I have not seen the full video.
Okay.
I've only saw the clips that were on the news.
Okay,
but,
and so, okay,
you know,
they are not,
if we're talking about social media, you know, it's becoming an increasingly big topic on both sides of the Atlantic. And a story has come out this week involving a supermodel called Katie Price, who has a disabled son.
Mm-hmm.
And this disabled son, because Katie Price is in the news so much, is constantly being attacked by trolls.
Wow.
Death threats.
Right.
Everything else. For the fact that he's disabled.
You know, it...
No more than that.
You know, it is... It's sad. And we're seeing this in the States. So in essence, if you will, social media is driving the message now.
Well, they're planning to pass, or they're thinking about passing legislation to protect, or to basically try and protect disabled people from trolls, internet trolls. I think, you know, why just disabled people?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I know.
I would like to see a situation... and this is me editorializing, I hope you don't mind.
Feel free.
Where it is against the law
to
post anonymous attacks. If you want to attack somebody, if you know you're protected by freedom of speech and everything else, but I don't think you have the right to do it anonymously.
No, there's no question there. And I think that what fascinates me, and of course, social media has become such a popular event here in the States. And unfortunately, we're seeing the results of it with just this event in at the Lincoln Memorial this past weekend. And as you're explaining to us as well. So it is, if you will.
Well, there's death threats made against this 16-year-old boy.
Right.
And I'll bet you every single one of them is anonymous. Oh. They don't have the courage.
I know, no disagreement at all. No, it's just I see this not then, and then you've shared with us, and I appreciate that the fact that this is not just a geographically specific experience, that we're seeing it elsewhere in the world.
And
quickly,
it's not specific to any political group
or
any racial group or anything else. It's right across the board.
All right, real quickly, and we've talked about this in the past. I'm going to go. We've got to go to a break here. So, in the case of in Africa, Africa has, as you've pointed out in the past, highly dependent upon mobile technology and social media because there isn't a lot of infrastructure for wired communications. I'm curious, is there a similar situation in Africa by any chance that you know of?
No, in Africa, they're much more worried about day-to-day life.
Right.
And for them, the internet, social media, everything else is a work tool.
Good point. I, I appreciate that very much. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Coming up, we're going to chat briefly about the shutdown and then so many other items with us here this afternoon. I do want to remind you this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. And I just want to make one other quick comment. We're not looking for Tom's impressions of the situation at the Lincoln Memorial. He shared with us what he's reading in the papers and seeing on the news, and that's what's important here. You stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're going to continue with a focus very briefly on the events here in the United States. He there in London, and we're talking with him, of course, about what is the perspective and the news and the information that's being shared about events happening around the world. But first, let's start with the events in the United States. And Tom, I want to talk to you about the government shutdown. In fact, the president today will be, the Senate will be considering several options to remove the shutdown. Very quickly, first question, could a shutdown like this happen in Great Britain?
No, I don't think it could.
Why not?
I don't think it could. Because the executive, there's only really one branch of government here, and that is Parliament. So they're not co-equal branches as there are in the states, which compete. It's getting a bit like that, but at the moment there's only one branch.
Okay.
And so the Prime Minister has to always have the support of Parliament. So you're unlikely to, if he or she does not have the support, then the law is either changed or alternatively, they resign and there's a new election.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes related to Brexit. The next question is, what is the news coverage on the issue of the government shutdown in the United States? And what is the opinion of the impact on, I'm going to use the European community as my primary target. So what is the news and what is the concerned or
Again, we're still a bit obsessed with Brexit here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Times did an editorial on the government shutdown, and it said basically, you better get your house in order sort of thing. And they also pointed out that it is starting to have an effect on the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are security implications because the FBI and various other agencies cannot effectively liaise with agencies around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a possibility that terrorists either coming to Europe or going to America could slip in under the net. There are business implications because you use subcontractors outside of the U.S. as well as inside the U.S. to perform government contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Those contractors are not being paid, so it's hitting their cash flow or just, driving them out of business as well. So, it's starting to hit everyone.
All right. And then related to that, the impact on the events there related to Brexit, has this shutdown had any influence or impact on Brexit?
I don't think it's had any impact on Brexit. If it did, a lot of people made a big song and dance about supporting Brexit because we're going to get this great deal from America. Mm-hmm. If America's in such a mess, do we really want a great deal with America?
All right. Well, let's talk about
not that we'd get one anyway.
let's talk about Brexit. And, the fact that the Times, and of course, we're talking about the Times of London, they're saying the U.S. should get their house in order. What about the house in order for the United Kingdom in relationship to Brexit?
Well, the Times has been saying that for some months now. The Economist had a nice editorial of the British and American democracies at the top of the ski slope. And they set off and they both stumbled and they turned into snowballs and rolled to the bottom. And the headline was, "Downhill Slope or downhill race between Britain and America as to which is going to have the worst democracy.
Oh, bad. Okay, let's talk here about the events there in the United Kingdom and Brexit. And this we've got to touch on the issue of the Irish issue, as it's called, and the recent events in Londonderry. As a matter of fact, I understand there was a bombing there.
Yep.
And so...
Well, you know, it just, you know, could be a sign of things to come. You know, that if they go with no deal Brexit, there will have to be a hard border, which is what the Protestant community would love. The Catholic community is hoping the Good Friday Agreement would, over a period of time, lead to closer relations between the two halves of Ireland. If there's a hard border, of course, it would have the opposite effect. So, you know, it's going to strengthen those people in the Republican army who say, well, we should never have stopped fighting. Let's carry on.
Well, you know, that's something I don't understand. I'll say we. I've got to be careful of speaking for the audience. But, you know, the whole issue of the Irish Catholic dispute in Northern Ireland is something that I can't get my brain around.
What? It goes back centuries into the mists of time.
It's just amazing. All right. And the fear is if there is a hard border between Northern Ireland and Ireland, then this will precipitate violence in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
I don't get it. Okay. Let's talk about the you're down to, 70 some odd days before the decision is to be made. I know that Theresa May failed to get her vote. We talked about that last week. There was a call for her removal. That hasn't happened. Anything changed over the past week?
Well, yep. They're allowing different MPs to table amendments. So far, 8 amendments have been tabled.
And by the way, let me interrupt you on that. Tabling in the parliamentary rules of order means to put forth in the Roberts rules of order, it means to basically bury. So in what you're saying is these amendments.
Yeah, they're putting forward amendments.
Okay.
These amendments vary from calling for a delay so that the deal can be renegotiated, a ban on a no deal arrangement. Labour Party wants to have full membership of the EU customs union. And then there's finally another amendment calling for a second referendum.
You know,
Eight amendments altogether. In one way or another, these four topics cover all 8.
Okay. It's hard for us to fully comprehend, but I think what you did share with us last week, I think this important issue, is that the structures are not there, particularly in the area of trade, for a decision. I think, was it March 29th? Is that the date?
March 29th. Well, let me just give you an example. The latest danger is, it's just been realized that because of landing rights, aircraft landing rights, mm-hmm. if there is a no deal, something like 5 million flights that have been booked after the 29th of March will have to be canceled.
That's a stunning number. 5 million flights?
5 million flights.
So much for the tourist economy. And of course, this impacts the European community, the rest of the EU.
Yeah. Well, it impacts a lot of people.
So, okay.
Not just the EU. I mean, it could, say, for instance, if a flight was due to go to Paris via London.
Well, how about if you're flying in from the United States, would that have impacted a U.S. flight?
It would if it was doing a stopover in right. London and going on somewhere else.
Well, I see the opportunity for direct flights from the U.S. to the U.K. And this may improve the economies of both countries in the process.
I like the idea. But I mean, yeah, there are people who will want to fly. There are flights. Wow. American Airlines that fly
right.
to Thailand,
right.
for instance, via London.
Right.
Some of the passengers get off in London, more passengers get on in London, and then some passengers go all the way to Thailand.
This 29th of March. So we're just shy of 2 months of, well, a little more than 2 months before this decision has to be made. We're chatting with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio this afternoon here on Viewpoints Around the World. We're going to move from Brexit here in just a moment to an event that, well, might influence Brexit, and that being the meeting in Davos. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. One of my favorite films is Goodbye Lenin. For those of you who haven't seen the German language post-Cold War movie, it's about a loyal East German Communist Party functionary who suffers a heart attack and falls into a coma just as the Berlin Wall is about to come crashing down. When she awakes, her political life is completely changed. The world has moved on without her. America, Britain, and the rest of Europe are in danger of suffering the same fate. They've become so obsessed with their internal difficulties and fighting for their domestic political survival that they are failing to realize that the rest of the world is moving on without them and creating a new set of rules and realities contrary to their democratic systems. There are only so many hours in the day, and Donald Trump seems to spend most of them tweeting about the wall and the Democrats, one of which is the answer to all problems, and the other is the cause. British Prime Minister Theresa May is taken up entirely with the dangers of Brexit happening, or not happening. That is when she's not obsessing about the corollary threat of a far-left Labour government coming to power. The European Union has finally woken up to the very real possibility that the nightmare scenario of a no-deal Brexit is likely, as well as tackling immigration, far-right extremism, populist governments in Italy and Eastern Europe, stagnating economies, and deteriorating relations with the US. Meanwhile, the authoritarian governments to whom the West should be instinctively opposed move on without the influence and input of the power centers which have directed the world order since well before the Second World War. Russia's Vladimir Putin is particularly active. He is busy rebuilding his country's arsenal of intermediate-range nuclear weapons while question mark hangs over America's willingness to defend its NATO-European allies. He's also busily driving a wedge between NATO, Turkey, and the West. In the Middle East, Russia's unconditional backing for Syria has allowed it to emerge as the major non-regional power and enabled Iran to position its forces on the borders of Israel. Trump's response? Withdraw. In Eastern Europe, the Russians continue to consolidate their hold on Crimea and Eastern Ukraine and recently made noises about absorbing Belarus, which would allow Putin to move his military forces right up to the borders with Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. At the same time, economic problems at home have resulted in Putin's lowest ever approval ratings, 35%. The temptation to boost them with another foreign adventure must be growing. China, meanwhile, is forging ahead with its One Belt, One Road initiative. Its investments in Africa alone are $60 billion over the next 3 years. This is 8 times the American investment. More than half of the Democratic Republic of Congo's massive natural resources, including cobalt, an essential part of every rechargeable smartphone in the world. It has recently completed a naval base in Djibouti and is making increasingly shrill noises about Taiwan. At the same time, President Xi Jinping is projecting himself as the protector of rules-based world trade in contrast to freebooting President Trump. North Korea is a bit player in this drama, but it still has an important supporting role. Kim Jong-un is using his summit meetings with President Trump as a PR exercise to boost his image at home and abroad. To a large degree, Trump is doing the same. On the substantive front, Kim is making virtually no effort to reduce his country's nuclear arsenal, and there are recent reports that he is developing biological weapons as well. In Goodbye Lenin, the family of the Communist Party functionary attempt to protect their mother from the shock of political reality by constructing an alternative East German universe. She eventually learns the truth, gives a metaphorical shrug, and dies 2 days later.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. And just to remind you, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. Tom, we were chatting a few moments ago about Brexit and the impact that it's having there in the United Kingdom. And you've mentioned the amendments, and you've got the potential of second referendums and the impact on airlines, that if a decision is not made, if there is a hard Brexit, that is to say, the United Kingdom is just throws up the wall, and there's no longer a relationship with the European Union. It has to be totally renegotiated over a period of time. That would impact 5 million flights originating or
and that's
flying.
We're just talking about airlines. There's airlines. Lots of other things that would impact in similar ways.
Yeah, but
hundreds of different things.
That's a number that, you know, I can get my brain around. Let's talk about this in relationship to another event, Davos, Switzerland. The president, of course, has chosen, president of the United States, has chosen not to attend. I was seeing other stories very quickly about this, but a lot of major players have sent their representatives rather than themselves attending. What's the outcome of Davos, and could that in any way?
Well, Theresa May is not going because, of course, she has problems over Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told by one diplomat that most of the participants there at Davos have heaved a huge sigh of relief that Donald Trump is not attending, as they say he is the three Ds: disruptive, destructive, and disliked.
Oh well, that. And there are those of us who are very proud of
that. Who love the fact that he is.
Yes, absolutely. Because we don't trust the folks at Davos. We see that as an oligarchy. That the oligarchs are all getting together and divvying up the world. Is that how that's perceived?
You see, this is where you and I disagree. Because I would like the people who own large chunks of the world to get along with each other. If they don't get along with each other, I think we have even more problems.
The problem is we don't know who all these folks are that own large chunks of the world.
What do you mean you don't know? All you have to do is look at the list of invitees. It's transparent.
And the interesting thing is none of them are, well, the vast majority of them are non-elected owners of the world. So that's a little concern.
The purpose of Davos is to bring together the media, business, and politicians.
You know, the interesting. Okay? It's sad.
So that is the purpose. So they talk to one another instead of not talking to each other and possibly misunderstanding each other.
You know, the most frightening.
I believe in talking to people.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You talk to me regularly, and I've yet to convince you. But you know, the most frightening aspect of your observation a moment ago, and we're going to move on to other items, is the inclusion of media. And you know, here in the States, we've come to the conclusion that the media is part of the problem. They are not a solution or a means of the problem. And that comment just a moment ago from you indicates that many people are rightfully cynical about the role of the media being arbiters of facts rather than arbiters of propaganda.
Well, that brings us to a long discussion of what they call the lobby here, mm-hmm. and off the record comments and things like mm-hmm. that, whether things should be off the record. Mm-hmm. And you know, will politicians, will businessmen speak openly to the media if they don't trust them? Wow. And they can't trust them if they believe that every word that they're going to be that they're going to say is going to be reported verbatim.
I understand that, but still, there's that. It just adds to the cynicism that we here in the States are having, sadly, as a result of this past weekend's events as well. All right, I want to move on to other items because they're kind of related. Franco-German alliance is renewed. You've got a note here on that. Is that partly as a result of the concerns associated with Brexit?
Yes, it is. You know, Mrs. Merkel made that absolutely clear when they met at Aachen or mm-hmm. Aix-la-Chapelle, depending on which country you come from, France or Germany. She said that basically too many of the truths which we have taken for granted since the end of the Second World War can no longer be taken for granted. And so we've got to have these meetings. We've got to reaffirm these truths, these international facts of life, in order to keep them alive and operating. Otherwise, things like the rule of law will simply evaporate.
Well, you know, the other aspect of this, and we won't get into the historical background on this, but the Franco-German alliance is important because we've had two wars that started, well, more than two wars, pardon me, but three wars that have started as a result of the Franco-German conflict. So in many regards, I would think that many in Europe are seeing this Franco-German alliance as being something of a positive.
Yes, yes and no. With Britain out of the equation, it's being seen less as a positive by some members of the EU.
Okay.
Britain was always the third party within the sort of triumvirate. And it would side sometimes with France and sometimes with Germany, whichever one seemed more pragmatic and realistic. Now, with just France and Germany, it looks more like a directorate.
Okay.
And some of the people in Eastern Europe and Italy, Spain, they're beginning to think that this directorate is directing them too much.
Understood. And of course, we've talked about this in the relationship to the European Union. All right, I want to move on to a variety of things, and we got to get to Macedonia. But let me start with Putin, and that is President Vladimir Putin of Russia. Approvals at all-time low. Wait a second. Is this approvals at all-time low in his own country or in...
In his own country.
Really?
35%.
Really?
Yes.
Donald Trump has...
The highest it's been is 76%, and that was after he annexed the Crimea. And I'll tell you the worry behind this. I mean, basically, they're not seeing any economic benefits from all of his foreign adventures and everything else. And people want to see benefits. They want to see, you know, a chicken in every pot.
Right, right.
At least another glass of vodka.
you cynic.
and the danger is that he will try and push up his approval ratings with another foreign adventure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then talking about foreign adventure, let's talk about the Kurds' offer to terms to Syria. And of course, this is in relationship to the proposal from the president that the U.S. Remove itself from the Syrian conflict. What's happening there in Syria?
Well, there are two things. One is Russia's meeting with Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So Erdogan and Putin are meeting. And the Kurds are meeting with Assad in Damascus to try and come to some sort of agreement with him.
Okay, let me interrupt you very quickly on the issue of Vladimir Putin and President Erdogan of Turkey. Honestly, does anybody believe there's any sincere communications between those two individuals?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
But, you know, I mean,
one can trust the other.
Like each other.
Huh?
They've had talks in the past before.
Okay.
Don't forget that very recently Turkey bought a missile defense system from Russia,
which is interesting in light of its NATO relationship as part of NATO.
Yes, exactly. And this the whole thing. I mean, anything that Putin can do to drive a wedge between members of NATO
and Turkey
is to his advantage. And
right.
So, you know, he's going to use the
Syria
story to try and drive a wedge between Turkey and the rest of NATO.
Okay, very quickly, because so many other things, the future of the Kurds, and that's, of course, one of the concerns with the military and investment here in the States. What is the future of the Kurds in relationship to Syria?
Well, we don't know. I mean, if the Turks are allowed into northern Syria, into the Trump safe zone, then I would say goodbye Kurds. You know,
okay.
They'd just be wiped out.
All right.
You know, Erdogan's record in this is not a very good one. And you can't trust him. If they manage to get the protection of Assad, and what they're asking for is to set up a sort of semi-autonomous region similar to the Kurdish zone around Mosul in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know if Assad would agree to that.
Okay.
He thinks he's won. And so it remains to be seen. It's still very much in a state of flux.
All right, let's go to the threat of North Korea and biological weapons.
Yeah, there's a story in the British press, which I thought I should bring to your attention. Mm-hmm. And one that, you know, as we know, there has not been that much movement on the part of the North Koreans in terms of dismantling their nuclear weapons.
Right.
And apparently they've been working very hard at developing anthrax.
Ooh. All right. So, of course, there's been criticisms of the president's second summit with President Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, basically, people are saying it's just a PR exercise.
So they see this as and the concern related to the biological weapons development in North Korea is a further disbelief in the future of a more peaceful arrangement with North Korea.
Yeah, basically, a sign that you just can't trust Kim.
Okay. I want to talk on chat on two items here very quickly. We'll get to Macedonia here in the after the break. And these are very quick observations on your part. We've been seeing with interest issues of civil unrest both in Zimbabwe and Congo. I know that this was not something we talked about earlier this morning as we prepared for the program, but I'm curious. You have, and the European community has been very closely aware of the circumstances in Africa. Are things heating up in Africa?
Oh, they've never gotten cool.
Right.
I mean, let's take the... I mean, there's certainly heating up in Zimbabwe, but if we take the subject of Congo, which, by the way, there are two Congos. There's the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right.
And we're talking about the Democratic Republic of Congo. And things have never really, ever since independence... And the problem is you've got over 200 different ethnic groups in Congo.
Wow.
All jockeying for power.
Ah, okay.
And and at the moment, you know, it's one of those great forgotten conflicts. There are 6 million displaced people in Congo.
Mm. So
6 million.
This is, okay, and this is a situation that's just not easily solved, is what it boils down to.
No, it's not easily solved.
All right.
You just had an election. The person who has been declared the winner mm-hmm. by the Electoral Commission... the local Catholic Church, the U.S., the EU say he didn't win. And they're saying the reason he's been declared the winner is because he reached a secret behind-the-scenes deal with the incumbent president, mm-hmm. who is restricted from running for a third term, to share power with him once he gets into office.
All right. This is going to be an interesting topic, I'm sure, going forward. Because
Congo, by the way... Rich,
right.
Rich in natural resources, poor in cash. 50% or more of their natural resources go to China.
Right. That was the next question I was going to ask, because China's played a big role in development of operations there in Africa in general. Very quickly, we've got to go to a break, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. China's economy now slowing down to about 6%. Is there fear that this may have a dampening impact on the European community and the role of Brexit?
Yes, certainly. It's being blamed for the partially blamed for the slowdown in the German economy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they're blaming the tariffs on the slowdown in the Chinese economy, and that of course, you know, China buys from Germany. Germany's a big trading partner.
Right.
German economy is not doing so well. If German economy isn't doing well, EU isn't doing well, you've got the additional problem of Brexit. If they have a no-deal Brexit, then that's going to hit the German economy too. So it's you know, I always say, you know, it's hip bone connected to the
right.
thigh bone.
Yeah, but
of the world.
I'm just saying, thinking to myself, time to buy stock. You're listening to Viewpoints on the Talk Station, FM 107 AM 1240 Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. This is a segment I'm always looking forward to because it always offers us a little bit of a twist in the overall news of life and events around the world. But before we get to the story of noodles, for Japanese commuters, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Let's talk very quickly about Macedonia And what's in a name? I saw that there was some riotous activity over the change in Macedonia's name. How come?
Absolutely. And the government nearly fell over the issue.
Why?
The problem is that when the Yugoslav Republic broke up, there was a part of Yugoslav Republic called Macedonia, and it wanted to set up its own state and call itself Macedonia. Well, there's another Macedonia, which is a northern province of Greece. Now, that Macedonia is the Macedonia that Alexander the Great's daddy came from.
Philip, yes, yes.
Philip the Great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the Greeks say that the Macedonians from Yugoslavia were stealing their ancient heritage.
Uh-huh.
and so they wouldn't let them have the name Macedonia. They finally reached an agreement, but a lot of Greeks were still not happy with it, and they rioted, they withdrew from the government, and I think it's going to be resolved, but I'm not certain.
Who's going to resolve it, by the by? Who will resolve this? Will the European court step in and make the resolution?
No, because Macedonia is not part of the EU yet. It has applied for membership, but it's been resolved through negotiation. Basically, they've agreed to write into their laws, that is the Yugoslav Macedonia, that their name has no connection whatsoever to do with the ancient Greek Macedonia.
But will the name remain Macedonia?
It's going to be called the Northern Republic of
Macedonia.
Macedonia.
Okay. Well, I can see it now. The cartographers are already working feverishly to write that name in. All right. We've got Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Let's go to the noodles for Japanese commuters. What?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen a Japanese or Tokyo commuter train. They literally hire people to push people into the doors, to pack them in.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to resolve this problem, they have suggested to commuters that they stagger their work times. And for those who agree to stagger their work times, they get a free pot of noodles.
Well, first off, how do they determine the staggering? Who determines what business, what organization is, you know, leaves at 4:30, the other organization leaves at 4:45?
I have no idea. All I know is that they get noodles for their staggering.
They're staggering with noodles. I like that idea.
Maybe they're spiked noodles.
Maybe. My question is, when you get free noodles, are we talking about to eat right there or to take home?
A bowl full of noodles and some chopsticks.
Okay. So they can stand around and talk while they wait for the next train, things of this nature. All right.
That's it.
That's in Japan. We're talking, of course, with Tom Arms of Viewpoints Around the World. Fascinating. Who has the noodle franchise in Japan, by the way?
It's not me.
We'd love to have it. All right. Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, as always, a real pleasure to have you with us this afternoon. Look forward to conversations with you next week.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Viewpoints Around the World here on the Talk Station FM 107 AM 1240.
Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.